Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. My name is Ned Dunn, and I am so happy to be with you today. It is Wednesday, April 17th, 17th day of the month, and the 107th day of the year. It's National Ellis Island Family History Day, National Haiku Poetry Day, National Crawfish Day, National Cheese Ball Day, and National Banana Day. And now it is time to go to the Hartford Current, check out today's horoscopes, and maybe it'll help us plan our day. We shall begin with Aries, March 21st through April 19th. You are the life of the party. While it can be difficult to wrangle all your friends together in one place, it isn't impossible. Even if there are several people who live in different corners of the world, you can do things like set up a group video call so everyone can still see each other. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. You can connect with people from all walks of life. We all hurt, we all have hopes and dreams, and we all want to share our lives with others who want to do the same. There's a community to be found with humans who aren't exactly like you. So do not be afraid to seek them out. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. Community is a valuable teacher. There might be a tradition or craft that you want to know more about. Instead of trying to do it all yourself, consider joining a local event to gain hands-on experience. Others will probably love your enthusiasm. There's so much out there for you. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. You are able to make significant strides in your career at this time by being friendly and networking with important people. Be ready to start building a connection with peers. Even if you're retired or satisfied with your career, you or someone you know could benefit from the connections you make. And Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. Emotionality can be a gift and a curse today. Others may appreciate your sage wisdom and sensitivity. Feelings of embarrassment or being dominated by others might feel extra troubling. So stay aware of how you let your peers affect your inner world. Awareness is key. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. One-on-one conversations are more likely to resonate with you at the moment. You might shy away from big groups of people. That being said, you may not have access to your usual confidants. Regardless, do not force yourself to be more social than you want to be. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. Set your inner social butterfly free. You might notice that you're more popular than usual. Even if you're normally a socialite, all eyes are really on you now. It's a good idea to take advantage of the spotlight. Whatever you do, do not lose yourself in the attention of others. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. An opportunity to work with like-minded people toward a common goal could be right around the corner. Collaborating wherever it's most needed will smooth everyone's journey. Surprises from people you never expected would throw you a curveball. Keep an eye on those you are currently with. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. Taking risks can pay off when it comes to expanding your horizons. You might find yourself in an opportunity to learn or travel. It's a good idea to be emotionally open right now. And to make sure you're allowed yourself, you are allowing yourself to be the student rather than the teacher. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. You might be connecting with family members you haven't seen in a while. Whether they live far away or you simply both lead busy lives, you probably haven't been able to meet as often as either of you would like. When you can get together, make the most of that time. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. It's time to use your mind. The more you're able to mentally connect with the people presently around you, the more success you can find. Appealing to the interests of others with logic will further your cause far more than an impulsive or emotional response will. And finally, Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. The foundation of security is consistent effort. If you're having trouble, look for supportive people who are more familiar with the ability you want to create. You might even find yourself enlisting a life coach. Regardless, watch what you say, because the way you communicate will affect the outcome. And those, my friends, are the horoscopes for Wednesday, April 17th. Now, it's time to take a look at our late night television choices. On ABC, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy's guests are Rob McElhenney and Chris Stapleton. Over on NBC, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. The guests are Julianne Moore, Lindsay Lohan, and Joe List. On CBS, Stephen Colbert. The guests are John Lithgow and Doris Kearns Goodwin. Later on CBS, after midnight, the guests are Patty Guggenheim, Betsy Sodaro, and Utkarsh Ambedkar. And later on NBC, Seth Meyers. The guests are Josh Brolin, David Sedaris, Paloma Faith, and Adrian Young. And then on Bravo, Watch What Happens Live, Andy's guests are Max Greenfield and Pam Grier. And finally, on Comedy Central, The Daily Show, the host tonight is Dulce Sloan, and the guest is Orlando Bloom. And those are our late night television choices. Now let's switch to today's almanac. On this day in history, in 1492, Columbus was granted permission to sail to Asia and to acquire spices, and he was given permission by King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. In 1524, Giovanni de Verrazzano, you may have heard of the Verrazzano Bridge, well, he reached the New York Harbor. He was from Florence, but he was sailing for France, and he was looking for the Northwest Passage. 1861, Virginia voted to secede from the Union. They were the eighth state to do so. In 1961, some 1,500 CIA-trained Cuban exiles launched the disastrous Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba in an attempt to topple Fidel Castro, whose forces crushed the incursion by the third day. In 1964, the Ford Motor Company unveiled the Mustang at the New York World's Fair. And then, in 1969, a jury in Los Angeles convicted Sirhan Sirhan of assassinating Senator Robert F. Kennedy. 1970, Apollo 13 astronauts James Lovell, Fred Heiss, and Jack Swigert splashed down safely in the Pacific 4 days after a ruptured oxygen tank crippled their spacecraft while en route to the moon. And in 1972, the Boston Marathon finally allowed women to compete for the first time. Nina Kuschick was the first officially recognized women's champion with a time of 3 hours, 10 minutes, and 26 seconds. And on this day in 2021, the funeral of Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth II. Births on this date. Jan Hammer, the musician, is 76 today. The actor Olivia Hussey is 72 today. Jennifer Garner, the actress, is 52. Victoria Beckham, the former Spice Girl and now designer, is 50 years old. And the actress from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Rooney Mara, is 39 years old today. Happy birthday to them and anyone else celebrating a birthday. And now from today's Hartford Current, the Ask Amy Advice column. Headline today, married couple discuss opening their union. Dear Amy, my wife and I have been married for 5 years. Each of us has brought up the topic of having an open marriage at one time or another. There is nothing wrong or missing in our marriage, and our intimate life is incredible. I'm wondering, is this a healthy curiosity on our parts, or are we just asking for trouble? Signed, Confused. Dear Confused, discussing having an open marriage isn't asking for trouble. Committed and intimate partners should discuss their hopes, dreams, fears, and fantasies. Longer married people understand through experience that marriage can be very hard work. Life unfolds in its untidy way and tests commitments. Work, family, illness, and financial issues will challenge every couple. Wondering who your spouse is having sex with tonight adds a layer of stress that a lot of people could not handle. My basic point is that if your marriage ain't broke, don't try to fix it by bringing other people into it. On the other hand, if you don't have children at home and can agree to parameters that will allow you to explore your sexual and relationship curiosity with other people while you stay emotionally committed to each other, you might take the leap. If you choose to try this, I think it would be prudent to imagine what your life would be like without your spouse in it, because for many, opening a marriage eventually leads to ending it. And our next letter today, Dear Amy, my brother-in-law of 20 years has always been rude, hateful, disrespectful, and in a perpetual bad mood. My sister always made excuses for his bad behavior, and so my family turned the other cheek and treated him with love and kindness anyway. One day at a party, I overheard my brother-in-law telling his friend how he never liked me or my family. He then proceeded to make fun of us. A few days later, I confronted him and my sister about it. My brother-in-law confessed to hating me and my family. My sister knew how he felt all along, and now she's acting like it's not a big deal. We don't want anything to do with my brother-in-law ever again. We're all feuding, and I don't know what to do. Signed, Shocked. Dear Shocked, your reaction to this insult seems to blame your sister, presumably for tolerating her husband's long-standing hatred and disrespect of your family. Your sister is not responsible for her husband's atrocious behavior, but it seems as if he has pulled the pin on a grenade and tossed it into the middle of your family. You might look on this weird episode of brutal honesty as a liberation of sorts. You are under no obligation to spend time with him, interact with him, or worry about his estimation of you. Turning the other cheek might translate into accepting that your sister has chosen to be with him and seems to be staying with him. Perhaps you could adopt a loving and understanding attitude toward her. Her situation does not sound easy. And our last letter today, dear Amy, I hope you'll rethink your answer to devastated husband, because it's not only wrong, it's dangerous. 5 years ago, I asked my husband to consider an open marriage. We had married young. I had no specific person in mind. My husband agreed to try it. We were open for 2 years before we decided it wasn't for us. When he asked that we return to monogamy, I readily agreed. A spouse who asks for an open marriage is trying to do the right thing by being open and honest. A partner is entitled to complicated feelings in response. But I would hope you'd encourage loving curiosity over anger. Love is about assuming positive intent and giving your partner the benefit of the doubt. When you and others sow the idea that someone who asks for an open marriage has a secret agenda and really just wants to stray, you encourage unfounded suspicion and hostility. That's the root of domestic violence. Signed, Open-Minded. Dear Open-Minded, thank you for telling about your own experience exploring an open marriage. I take your criticism to heart. That is Ask Amy for today. And sticking with the Hartford Current, Wednesday's Ex Etiquette column. Headline, Accepting Differences in One Another, Key to Ensuring Success of Bonus Family. And here's the question. My girlfriend and I moved in together about 4 months ago. We both have sons about the same age. They are nothing alike, and it's really difficult for her and me because she compares the boys all the time and makes it very uncomfortable. For example, her son is very athletic. Mine is not. He prefers to draw, and she has out and out said my son was weird because he doesn't want to play soccer. Weird. There's more. But in the name of keeping this short, what's good, ex-etiquette? And here's the answer. I have found one of the most common reasons why many combined families don't make it is that there is very little acceptance of differences. By that I mean most parents attempt to combine their families based on what they believe to be a conventional two-parent family mold where the children are brought up together from the beginning and have many of the same likes and dislikes. They have many of the same memories. Bonus families are nothing like that. Their memories are created later. Their personalities are different. Their histories, what makes them tick, are different. Therefore, using a conventional family as your model just does not work. It frustrates everyone. The kids don't feel understood. They feel as if they can't do anything right. The parents are frustrated because your kid doesn't listen, or your kid is so spoiled, or you know it's a little weird that your kid doesn't like soccer. What kid doesn't like soccer? Just as a child will personalize it when one of their parents badmouths the other, parents personalize it when their partner says something derogatory about their child. Now, you're cutting down each other's children. Once that starts, the family breaks into factions. Your kid and you against my kid and me. That's difficult to repair. The damage is very quickly done. If bonus family members Want to ensure bonus family success? Each family member must learn to accept their family members' differences. That means you do not make comments like, "Your kid is a little weird." Instead, you support his artistic abilities. Instead of buying him soccer cleats, you're having his art framed so it can be celebrated, just as family members celebrate when a soccer game has been won. Or they offer positive reinforcement when a soccer game has been lost. Acceptance. That is good ex etiquette. And now from the living section of today's Hartford Current, the Balancing Act column headline, story and example of living life to fullest. John Hsu takes over a room in the best kind of way. His energy, his quick laugh, his warmth, all befitting a children's book author and school librarian, which is what Hsu does. But I was in the room because of what Hsu is, and he's a survivor. Hsu, S-C-H-U, has written a new book titled Louder Than Hunger, a graphic novel intended for middle school readers and older. It shot straight to the New York Times bestsellers list the week it debuted, and Hsu is on a tour of classrooms and bookstores to discuss it. On a recent Thursday evening, I was invited to moderate his discussion at the bookstall in Winnetka, Illinois. Louder Than Hunger is about a 13-year-old boy named Jake who is living with anorexia, nervosa, and depression. He is hospitalized for treatment and, at one point, has to use a wheelchair because his shrinking body can no longer walk. Jake would like his body to take up less and less space until, ultimately, he and his body take up no space at all. Jake is based on Hsu. He was also a teenage boy who lived with anorexia nervosa and depression. He also had to use a wheelchair when his shrinking body could no longer walk. He wanted his disease to kill him. Before he got sick, he was brutally bullied at school. Verbal stones, he calls the taunts and jeers. Stones that helped create the voice, Hsu writes in Louder Than Hunger. Stones that gave the voice permission to speak. The voice is a character in the book. It tells Jake not to eat. It tells him he's not worthy of food, or friendship, or love, or living. It drowns out all the other voices of people telling Jake the opposite. It's that loud. Being in a room with Hsu now, three decades later, is a gift. It's a gift because of the way he tells stories and lights up at questions and bounds around a crowd giving away books and notepads and pieces of himself that show how he's healed and show, importantly, that healing is possible. It's a gift because it's generous and unexpected. I don't think it's giving away too much of the book to say that Jake's grandmother is pivotal in his healing. If it's the doctors and therapists and peers and procedures that inject life back into Jake, it's his grandma who encourages him to embrace it. I ask you, no, I beg you, to get yourself better and go out into this beautiful world and enjoy life, she writes in a letter to Jake. It's your given right in this world to be healthy, and with health comes happiness. Please give yourself permission to live your life to the fullest. You deserve it. Musicals are one of the things that bring Jake the most happiness. At one point, Jake's mom is able to take Jake out of his treatment facility for the day, and they go to see a live performance of Beauty and the Beast. I absorb every note, every lyric, every colorful set, every costume change, Hsu writes, as Jake, Like Belle, am I strange but special? Do I want much more than what this eating disorder gives me? Shu talks to students all day long, all week long, all year long, sometimes more than 1,000 students a week, he estimates. At the bookstall, I asked him what he would tell 13-year-old Shu if he encountered him today. He said he would tell him a story based on real events about growing up and getting to meet singer and actor Idina Menzel and pose for a photo together and even obtain her phone number, which he refuses to store in his phone for fear that he'll accidentally dial Menzel one day. He showed us a slide of himself next to Menzel. He beamed. I beamed. I'm guessing the crowd beamed, but the lights were lowered so the slide would show up. And also, I was afraid to look into the crowd because I knew I would cry, and crying isn't a great look for moderators. I thought about something that I read in my pal John Duffy's 2019 book, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, about the importance of injecting some awe and wonder in our kids' lives. I looked it up a couple of days later because of all the stimuli they're exposed to. Kids become discerning pragmatists at ever earlier ages, Duffy wrote. They train themselves to peek behind the veil of anything they see and put it to the sniff test of their reality. Awe and wonder are the prices our children pay and, secondarily, that we pay ourselves. Counteract that, he says. Find moments and places that blow your kid's mind. The ocean, a concert, a game, live, surrounded by fans in a stadium, mountains. Please do not underestimate the importance of this, Duffy wrote, in their development as inspired, excited, life-filled adults. Life-filled adults is a pretty great goal for parenting, I think. It's a pretty great goal for ourselves, too. I am grateful for that guidance, and I am grateful for Shu's example of a life-filled adult in action, carrying around a very different set of verbal stones and using them to create a path toward happiness and healing and wonder for any of us to follow. Some celebrity news. ABBA, Biggie, Blondie, and Rudolph are entering America's audio canon. New inductees into the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress include ABBA's 1976 album Visitors, the Notorious B.I.G.'s 1994 album Ready to Die, Blondie's 1978 breakthrough Parallel Lines, and Gene Autry's 1949 version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Librarian of Congress Carla Hayden announced the 25 new titles in the class of 2024 on Tuesday, saying in a statement that they are worthy of preservation for all time based on their cultural, historical, or aesthetic importance in the nation's recorded sound heritage. Puerto Rican singer Hector Lavoy's signature song 1978's El Cantate, written by Ruben Blades, will enter the registry, along with Mexican singer Juan Gabriel's 1990 tribute to his mother, Amor Eterno. Other titles deemed to be among the defining sounds of the nation's history and culture are Jefferson Airplane's 1967 album Surrealistic Pillow, Green Day's 1994 album Dookie, and The Chicks' 1998 release Wide Open Spaces. Lily Tomlin's 1971 album of sketches, This Is a Recording, is the only comedy and the only non-musical recording on this year's list. The Visitors was the disco-tinged fourth album from the Swedish supergroup ABBA and included their hits Dancing Queen, Money, 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 and Fernando. Blondie and singer Deborah Harry had their commercial breakthrough with Parallel Lines, an album that featured Heart of Glass. It's joined this year by another new wave classic from the same year, the self-titled debut album by The Cars. Well, my friends, that is all the time we have for Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. My name is Ned Dunn, grateful to be with you and glad to be back with you. Have yourself a great day and a better tomorrow.